great time. And I'm really pleased to introduce Sue to you from California, and I hope that you hear the hope that I have heard. Here's Sue.
Over May the 11th, 1974. Hi, I'm Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Very grateful member of the Al-Anon family groups because today I love an alcoholic. I went through almost 32 years ago. So my recovery date is May the 11th, 1976, and I believe Al-Anons need recovery dates just like alcoholics do. Doesn't mean we've been perfect and haven't had Al-Anon slips. And Al-Anon slips having a moment of compassion for the alcoholic. Keith sends his love. He's speaking in Las Vegas tonight. And we've been together for 48 years. And I constantly remind him, he's been sober May the 11th, 1976, is his sobriety date. And I constantly remind him, because we went through hell together, that alcoholism is a deadly disease. That I love our life today, and if he ever chooses to drink again, I'll kill him. What I've recognized with the program of Al-Anon is that we're all here because we're not all there, but like last night, listening to Joe talk and then going to the room and listening to the news and finding out I was sitting in this room listening to an alcoholic and there was a tornado going on outside. And nobody, you know, it's like, okay, Mom, the wind quit blowing. What's wrong? But I love Keith. He's my entertainment. I think he's so cute. He does things all the time that I think so funny. We invested and bought a house in Las Vegas. And we go over there every couple of months and spend a few weeks there. And we still live in California, but we, you know, go over there. It was an investment type thing. And I love the program in Las Vegas, Nevada. People that come to the program of Al-Anon in Las Vegas are desperate. Las Vegas is the vortex of this world. Every vice is legal in Las Vegas. So you have to make a choice. You're either going to go to hell or you're going to find a spiritual life and go to heaven. And that's the point, that you're either going to go down or up. And so people that come there are desperate. Yeah. So we had been over there and we went back to California this last week, and he left his razor, his favorite razor. And years ago, when Keith started losing his hair, he said it looked like he had a toilet seat sitting on his head. So he started shaving his head, and his favorite razor is left in Las Vegas. So he gets one of those little dispensable razors, and he's shaving his head, and he made three big gashes on the top of his head. And one of the guys he sponsors came over, and he goes, "Jesus, what happened to your head?" He said, "Well, it's Sue again." He gets sex in the headboard, and I couldn't. And I go, "Thanks, babe." But I believe that's a key to a long-term marriage. You know? We're still very active, yeah. And tonight he's going to tell him that last week we had sex twice during the week, yeah. And he lights up my life. And people in this program have so many problems with relationship, a friend, and screw them to death. Sorry, Hillary. Okay, Mildred, now they know Al-Anon's going to hell. But Alan gives us the freedom to be ourselves. I love being 64 years old. You get away with so much stuff. It's like you're at an age you just don't care anymore. And if you're still doing it, brag about it. So, I have to tell you guys this. This is bad. Mildred said not to do it. But Keith came. He had to go to the doctor for examination the other day, and he came home. And I said, how'd it go? He said, well, the doctor told me I can't masturbate anymore.
No.
And I go, why? And he said, because he was trying to give me an examination. I said, you got to stop that. So anyway, that's off my mind. And I'm so glad to see Mildred, and I'm so glad to see people that we've known for years. There's California people here. There's people here that are in a chain of sponsorship that we've had for 29 years. Would you girls please raise your hand, the God of Water group? Isn't that great? You gotta want it. And I love my home group. It's the Gotawana group from Fullerton, California, and it is 45, 46 years old. And it's still going strong, and it's a large home group, and we believe in strong sponsorship and working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. People go, oh, I want to get better. I got to go to Al-Anon. Why don't you just work the steps in AA? That's what we do. We work the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Al-Anon does not have any. We adapted the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they apply to our lives. And they work. There's newcomers in my life that I've met in Las Vegas. This one little gal, she's 24 years old, and she'd been watching me and talking to me, and she finally came and asked me if I would sponsor her. And she said, you know, I watched you for a while, and I was skeptical because a long-timer told me that you hustle young women, and then you take them hostage. And I said, well, you know, it was your choice. What could I say, you know? And so that weekend, about 10 of the ladies from my home group in California came to spend the weekend in Las Vegas. And so I told some of the girls in Las Vegas, come over and meet ladies from my home group. And so this little Denise walks in, and she goes, oh, my God. I go, what? And she said, these women are old. They're like in their 30s and 40s. And I'm sure some of them 50. I thought I was going to meet 18-year-olds over here. I said, don't tell them you think they're old. They don't know that yet. They haven't grown up. This AA lady, the girl, she just took a two-year cake, and her AA sponsor told her she needed to find someone to do a fifth step with on her ex-husband who's actively drinking. And she has a little, she said, I need someone to help me. And I want somebody that's a lady. My God, where I came from, for somebody to say that to me is an absolute miracle. And I told Andrea I would help her. If she took Billy to Alateen. He's 11 years old. He's gone through the whole disease with her. And this gal had tried Alcoholics Anonymous since 1999 and just got 2 years. And she's had a hard time. And it's so funny. She did her inventory with me on that. And she was not going to put her ex-husband on her amends list. I will not. He does not deserve it. He's the one that turned me in, and I did 2 years. And I said, did it ever dawn on you? He might have saved your life. Nope. And I said, just be willing. Just be willing. You don't have to do the ninth step with him because it says wherever in the ninth step. That means that when God thinks it's time, he will be right in your face, and you will not be able to deny that it's God's timing and that it's time to make your amends to that man. And she said, well, I haven't seen him in about 8 years. And I said, then just be willing, you know, he's gone. And I said, but I believe that you want to stay sober. You see, I don't ever forget when I help ladies. I don't ever forget the ones that are alcoholics, because I love alcoholics. And their primary purpose is to stay sober, and then. And so she said, okay. And she wrote his name down. And she called me Tuesday, and she was crying. And that was a Friday night. She called me Tuesday, and she was crying. She said, my God, Sue, I cannot believe the power of you and your God. And I go, what are you talking about? She said, at work today, they called me from the lobby and said, can you please come down to the lobby? There's a man down here that wants to talk to you. She went down there, and it was her ex-husband. And she says, I don't want any trouble. And he said, no, I need to talk to you for a minute. And she said, just for a minute. And they went outside. And he'd never, ever give her child support money or anything. And he said, you know, I got to go. He said, I got to get out of the area. I got to get out of the country. But I have some money for you. I want to give to you for Billy. And she said, I kept hearing you say, he'll be right in your face. And she said, God, please help, the 11th step. And she said, you know what? She said, I did a lot of bad things when I was with you and caused you a lot of pain and a lot of harm. And she said, I really want to make amends for that. And then she went the one step further and said, what do I need to do to make it right with you? And he looked at her, and she said, he started crying. And he said, you've already done it. Keep being a good mom to Billy. And he gave her the money, and he left. You know, I suit up, and I show up. And I know that God has given me a second chance at this life. And I have a big responsibility to my God to try to carry this message of recovery to God's people who still suffer. But the gifts of celebrating the miracles with these people is beyond my wildest expectations. And Billy's going to Alateen, and he told me after his first meeting, he said, I'm glad I'm going there. I can help these people. He said, because there was a kid in there tonight that he doesn't like to go with his dad because his dad's drinking. And he said, I told him, you can go with your dad. He said, I go with my grandma all the time. And he said, but when my grandma's had too much and she thinks I don't know, and he said she tries to hide her extra drink glasses under the napkin and hide them from me. And he said, but when she has too much, he said, I call the maitre d', I go to the maitre d' and have them call me a cab and I have them take me home. I don't get in the car with my grandma, because see, he's been with his mom in car wrecks. And awesome. Andrea called me the other night after their Wednesday night Al-Anon and Alateen meeting, and Billy said, he led the meeting. He said, I led it on disappointments. And he said, my disappointment was is that, Mom, I went through this with you. Now I'm disappointed because I'm having to go through it with my dad. And he said, thank you for taking me to Alateen. He said, but Mom, I know that AA is very important to you and that your phone rings all the time and these people need your help and you need to talk to them and that helps both of you. But he said, they told me in my meeting, Mom, that when I'm talking to you, I need for you to listen to me. My God, celebrate the miracle. There's alcoholics that think that they don't harm their children once they get sober, that their sobriety is enough to help their kids. And then they come to Al-Anon whining because their kids are in trouble. There was this man in a meeting over in Vegas the other day that him and his wife were retired, and he said our life was consumed with our daughter. And he said, we've been in here for 3 months now, and he said our life has gotten so much better. He said, I told my daughter one day, he said, it was when we hit our bottom, my wife and I. We have never had an alcoholic or an addict in our house so far and in our family, and we're not going to start now. Get in the car. And she got in the car with him. And she goes, Dad, where are we going? He said, I'm taking you to a psychiatrist, and you better pray you got a brain tumor. And he said, I would rather she die of a brain tumor than to have alcoholism. Well, this lady shared she had 6 months in Al-Anon. Her daughter was always in jail. She was bailing her out and stuff. And she said, I told my daughter, I can't do that anymore. You're on your own. And her daughter said, if you don't support me, Mom, I'm going to be a stripper. And she said, God, it's like a knife going through my heart. And she said, but she called me the other day. She has bought her own condo. She has paid for her own car. And she is one of the best strippers in Vegas. And she wanted me to come see her show. And she said, I told her, I am so proud of you, but I don't think I'm at the point where I can come there yet. But she said she's self-supporting through her own contribution. Well, and it's like, you don't hear those stories anywhere else. You know? This other lady is so crazy. She's been in Al-Anon for 4 years, never had a sponsor. She rants and raves in her meetings. And she finally said, you think you're so tough? Help me get better. And I said, okay. And so I got her to commit to reading her morning meditation and what we do in morning meditation, and to look in the mirror every morning and say, good morning, Rebecca, I love you. She goes, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I said, well, just try. Just try. And she went to her meeting. She told them she'd gotten a sponsor. They clapped. And they're always fighting. He's got 4 months sober, and they're always fighting, and he's always leaving, and she calls me and crazy, and he's leaving. And I said, the next time he says that, say, okay, I'll help you pack. And be very calm. And she called me the other day. She goes, oh, my God, it works. He said, I ain't going anywhere if it's going to make you happy if I leave. This same lady called me the other day. She's got 4 years. And her AA sponsor is helping her. She said, call one of those Al-Anon ladies. And she was crying, and she goes, he left. And he said that he would take care of me forever. And he's left. And I said, oh, my gosh. She goes, we just signed a new lease on this apartment for a year. And I said, well. And she said, he said he'd take care of me forever. And now he's split. And I said, whose name's on the lease? And she goes, mine. And he left in my car. And she said, but I went to the bank. And I closed my accounts because I had put his signature on my accounts. So I've taken care of that part. And I said, and he said he would take care of you forever. And she goes, yeah. I said, you are an alcoholic and stupid. You're the most stupidest woman. And she said, why would you say that? I said, does he have a job? And she said, yeah. But he was homeless when I met him. And I said, you are the most stupidest woman I've ever met. I said, you know what? Stay in AA and keep working this program. You can arrest alcoholism, but there's no cure for stupid. Yeah. A couple days later, she called. It's fine. He's back. And he's going to put the utilities in his name and the cable in his name, and so he can be responsible and take care of some things for me. I thought, great. She'll have an apartment sitting in the dark the next time. but I love the insanity of us. You know why? I understand that, lady, that everything's fine, he's back. I understand that. Keith and I used to take turns leaving each other. God, I'm so grateful I don't have to live that way anymore. You see, going through the active disease of alcoholism, there was a lot of violence, physical violence in our home. And I wasn't the alcoholic. I would get in his face, and I'd do this, and he'd say, "Sue, get out of my face." And I'd take one step closer. And he'd say, "If you don't get out of my face, I'm going to hit you." And I'd take one step closer, and he'd hit me, and the knockdown, drag-out fight was on. And I remember one time when we was fighting, and he had me on the bed, and he was choking the living tar out of me. And I looked up at him, and he's looking down at me with all the intensity he has. And it dawned on me, he wasn't thinking of nothing but me. I was number one in his life. And so I started those situations all the time because it was the only time I could get 100% of his attention. And you know the sad part of that? I wasn't raised in an alcoholic home. I just intuitively knew. There's a place in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that says they can't seem to help themselves. They seem to have been born that way. They're talking about Al-Anons. We don't have to drink to go crazy. And I went crazy a lot. You know, I grew up with my mother and father in trailer houses, moving around, chasing oil rigs. I had an older sister, a younger brother. My father passed away when I was a teenager. I got in trouble, got pregnant, went to San Antonio, gave a child up for adoption. Went home and met Keith Drum. And it started a life of nothing I'd ever experienced in my life before, but I loved it. It was unpredictable. And I loved it. We started out in Texas. We went to Oklahoma. He went to school in Oklahoma. Took him 4 years to get a 2-year degree. Typical alcoholic. I took all the credit because he couldn't stay put before and get a degree, and I needed validated. God, that's one of the sickest parts of this disease, is needing the validation from other human beings. Just like that lady called and he's gone. He's supposed to make me happy. My gosh, how many think that the other person in our life is supposed to make us happy? And we can't even take care of ourselves. How can we make anybody else happy? But we want another sick human being to be responsible for her with somebody with the disease of alcoholism. Look in the mirror. Sick attracts sick. If you're new in Al-Anon, I'm sorry if I offended you. But we have choices, and you chose that person. I love disease. And I had to go this rip-roaring life of alcoholism with Keith and because I chose to. And there were people that would say, leave him. And normal people do not understand. I mean, there's a lot of alcoholics in here today. I can feel you. I'm on guard. You just make me vibrate. We understand. We are the only people that understand. Because we see the goodness when you're not drinking. We know there's a good person in there. We understand that. And then it's like, what happened? And the most important thing to me that I learned when I got to this program is that when I came in, the long-timers in Al-Anon used the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous because there wasn't any other literature. And I'm so grateful. I was raised on that book, but our literature says of alcoholism, and what a better place to find out about it than in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in reading that book, it educated me to quit that. What is wrong? Predictable. Change the effects that alcohol has on the alcoholic. because we got him drunk, and I never, ever understood that. To know that, I need it is so cunning and hands of the people that have come to this conference. All will have, but I'm not taking it after it. And I went out with that facility. They come in and man, and serve folks. They had a whole bunch of you. He goes, no, I've called us to drink today. Husband sobriety. Oh, people something in this program need him. We talked. And the person we were fighting. Don't worry, baby. That sponsor's talking about the program. I knew our daughter's sitting in those meetings. Who's due for that? That I look at real territory. I'm not going to name her Starmal. Coming up. Better. Because I'm an alcoholic. Better. If we right now, it is so funny when we have something to talk about. I know your name. She has 45. My home group, and it's people. Have to write you a ticket. And everybody else went, this community that I know who I will get drunk to. He, and I attached. He said, look at this. It is that when Nicole was in Thailand, she left. Almost 32 because people can all suffer consequences. That, you know why? We might be Alex and Honest. And when our daughter Simone after Keith, I go, they're not here. And it's like people will talk, in my home group, will talk about people that used to be in my home group that the newcomers never heard of them before. And it's only been a year since never heard of him before. Left. He could take the other. He was drunk. It's not me. You don't understand. Because Keith had a gun and I had the gun holster. And the cop said, where's the gun? I go, he's got the gun. He goes, no, he doesn't. You got the holster. I said, this is my weapon. I'll show you. And I started beating the hell out of the cop. So for an afternoon, it ain't no big deal. Yeah. And it's like, that's why I go to prison. I go to women's prisons all the time. In fact, I went to an orientation in Las Vegas so Keith, I can go into Nevada prisons and do 12-step work there. And they were, the lady that led the training session was talking about how inmates are profiled are so different than normal people. And there were people there from the school district, and there were alcoholics there, and there were, I was the only Al-Anon there, and there were people from all different kinds of causes to help inmates. And so the facilitator was saying, okay, this is a profile of a normal person, and this is the profile of an alcoholic. If you ran into the person that fits the profile of an inmate, a prisoner, she said, what would you do? And they say, hey, lady sitting next to me said I'd marry him. And everybody else went, oh, and I was laughing. So anyway, we go through the insanity of alcoholism, and we are the only ones that love the alcoholic. Because we understand that we don't know what's going on, but there's a good person in there. And we see that, and we keep the hope that someday it might get better. And we do everything we can to help make it better, whether it kills you or not. Like Keith carried a gun, and I picked up a butcher knife, and I started fighting back with a butcher knife. And I would stab Keith many, many times. He would pass out on me. You don't pass out on me when I'm talking to you. And I'd stab him all over his back. And he'd wake up. My God, what's wrong with my back? I said, you've been drinking all that rock whiskey. You've broken out with acne in the back. But don't worry, baby. I'll put some rubbing alcohol on it. So those are the kind of things that I did in the insanity of alcoholism that was not his fault. You know? And so I cannot afford to stay here for relief. And one of the biggest problems with alcoholism, in recovery or not in recovery, is communication. Oh my gosh. How many times, if you're sponsoring people, or have you yourself called a sponsor and said, what did he or she mean by that? And I get those kind of phone calls, and I go, why didn't you ask? Don't ask me. I gave up mind reading when I came to Al-Anon. I don't do that anymore. And I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. Ask. And we're so afraid to ask. You know why? We might get the answer. Well, it's so much easier with alcoholism to assume that I'm right than to find out I might be wrong. And one of our books of meditation this morning talked about it is okay to be wrong because that's what we learn from. If we go around perfect, we don't learn from being perfect. We learn from our mistakes. And then we don't have to make them anymore if we don't want to, if we are being restored to sanity. Because it's like, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. How many times did I do that? And I would tell Keith, you drink again, I'll kill you. And we would go through those fights over and over again. We had a daughter, and when I was done fighting with Keith and he'd walk away, he was done, I wasn't. And I had that rage inside of me, and what do? And I would turn around to a 9-year-old girl, and I would grab her, and I would beat her head against the wall because I couldn't stop. Just like the alcoholic couldn't stop drinking. I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I couldn't quit. I wasn't done. Oh, my God. That's alcoholism in the non-drinker. And I was stone cold sober. Insane. I cannot afford relief. I know who I will become again. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks a lot about if we shut the door on the past and we forget where we came from, we will surely return. And I see people in this program all the time. I'm sober, so what's your problem? Well, the problem is that sometimes sobriety is worse than when the drinking's going on because it's dry. And people don't talk about it anymore. I don't hear it in Al-Anon meetings anymore. I don't hear sponsors talking about it a lot anymore. dry drunks. He's on a dry drunk. Don't take it personal. He just wants to drink today. You know, I am so grateful that I understand my husband. That I can't afford to live with someone. I support sobriety. I understand. I was attracted to an alcoholic. My husband is sober. If he ever chooses to drink, he's going to do it because he wants to, not because of anything I have done. Okay? And I believe that to the bottom of my soul. I support his sobriety because I work a program in Al-Anon for me. Keith and I have a thing that if he ever gets drunk, I'm out of there right now. And he tells me, if you ever quit this program of Al-Anon, I am out of here right now because I can't afford to be sober and live with a crazy person like you. Yeah. And it's true. And it's true. And I understand today that he can't get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired. I make sure that there is food in our home. That he can eat when he needs to eat. And we found out a few years ago he had diabetes. And when we didn't know what he had, it felt like alcoholism because of the mood swings with the sugar levels. And when we found out he had diabetes, it's like, oh my God, we have an answer. And I told Keith, I said, you know what? I will support your recovery with your diabetes. I will not bring anything into this house that you cannot eat. But I will not police you. And he went to a nutritionist and he works his diabetes with his diet. He will not shoot insulin because he knows who he is. He will not use any kind of drugs or any kind of medication. I respect that. I had a hip replacement 3 years ago. I went to a physical rehab facility for 2 weeks after I got my hip for physical rehab because I would not go home on pain pills because I live with a sober alcoholic. And when I left that physical rehab, my doctor didn't ask me if I wanted anything, and I didn't tell him I needed anything, and I didn't. Nothing goes into our home that would interfere with my husband's sobriety. That's how I support recovery. Because I will never be blamed for him getting drunk or loaded. That will be his deal. And because I work with others, and he works with others, we have a great life together. Because our whole focus is on the recovery. Our whole focus is on recovery. It is so funny when, before we got this program, I knew everything that Keith did. Everything. I was two steps behind him, and Barbara knows that. I watched Barbara do that with Dennis when I 12-stepped her 29 years ago. And I identified with that. I knew everything he did. He would run away to get away from me because I bird dogged him all the time. And I suffocated him. And I tried to control him, which is insane for an Al-Anon thinks you can control an alcoholic. And so what I... In Al-Anon, I've learned to release, let go, detach with love. With love. And I was sharing with a newcomer the other day, this works, and she was gone. Well, he says that I'm going to so many meetings that I'm not spending enough time with him. And I said, good for you. Good for you. Because I remember when I started this deal, and Keith was always wanting to get rid of me and get away from me. And after I was in Al-Anon, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, we was laying in bed one night on a Thursday night. And on the weekends, I went to convention planning meetings, world service meetings, intergroup meetings. I went somewhere in an Al-Anon function every Saturday in New Recovery because weekends were hard for me. So I was laying in bed one Thursday night, and Keith looked at me, and he said, "What are you going to do this weekend?" And I go, "What are you talking about? We're doing this thing one day at a time. This is Thursday. I don't know. Why are you asking me this?" And he said, "Because you've always got something to do on the weekends now." And I thought, oh, my God, I have become interesting. And so with him working his program and me working my program, when we come together, we have something to talk about. We are not attached at the hip. We love each other, and we're both retired, and we spend a lot of time together. Our daughter Simone, she went through Alateen and made the transition into Al-Anon, and she's coming up on 44 years old. She's still active in the program of Al-Anon. She lives in Milan, Italy, and has for 22 years, and she's very active in Al-Anon over there. But when we first retired, Simone would call us, and she would say to us, "How are you and Dad doing?" I go, "We're doing great, Simone." "Yeah?" And she'd go, "Okay." And so then she'd wait a couple days, call, and, "How are you and Dad doing?" I go, "We're doing great. What's wrong with you, Simone?" And she said, "Well, people say that when both people are retired that they don't get along." I said, "Oh, my gosh, Dad and I are having so much fun. We do things, yeah? That's why we got that house in Vegas, is so we can go over there." And then Simone would call us, "Are you gambling?" We go, no. "What do you do when you're over there?" We go to meetings every day. Yeah, I love it. And there's so many recovery homes there. I was talking to Mildred last night. It was so funny. AA women in Las Vegas, doesn't seem to me they have strong sponsorship. And a lot of these AA women... The neat part for me going to Las Vegas is that I have time in this program, my home group, that time's respected. I'm not catered to or anything like that, but people know me all over Southern California. But I got to Vegas and nobody knew me. I was just another Al-Anon sitting in a meeting. Oh, my God. Until one day this gal said, "Oh, my God, I've heard your voice. I know who you are. I've listened to your tapes." Yeah. But as I sit in those meetings, and I loved it. And I've shared with you some of the stories of it. This man, last Friday night, said, he said, "People think that when the alcoholic is not drinking, they're sober, and that's wrong." He said, "My wife hasn't drank or used in 8 weeks. He knew exactly how long. And he said, "It's like a rubber band. And you pull it out, and you pull it out." And he said, "I have teenage kids, and the rubber band kept getting more tight and more tight." He said, "Last night it popped. She drank." He said, "You know what happened in my home? We all went, oh my God, oh my God. Did I understand that?" Alcoholism wants us to be miserable. This program wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. I have a life today beyond my wildest expectations. With all the violence and then hitting the bottom, getting out of the way and letting God and booze do for Keith what nothing else could do. Getting a program for myself because the man that 12-stepped me told me I needed, 12-stepped our family, said, "You need help." And so does Simone. And we all came to the program. and it has gotten nothing but better. I am not going to stand here and tell you about a lot of tragedies in my life since I've been in this program. We have gone through surrenders. We have gone through big time surrenders. I had you on one hand and God through the other. With that combination, we can make it through anything. Anything. 10 years sober, the feds came after Keith. He'd been involved in organized crime for over 20 years. That means that he had done it 10 years sober. Damn him. He was supposed to change. He's sober. He can't be doing that. I went crazy. And my sponsor worked with me, and I got more involved in service. I got more involved in sponsorship, and I was able to let Keith go. I was told to keep him alive in the bedroom because he was losing it everywhere else. If he lost it there, it would be gone. And I did. What a great commitment. And he got through that thing. He got through that thing, and he got let go. And I used to think he was a free man at that point. He was just loose. Now he's a free man. And he was looking at the time at 5 years. And I got to the point in my spiritual growth with that I looked at him one day and I said, "Babe, I know you're in trouble. I know, you know, that you're growing through this. I want you to know I have totally accepted the fact that this is what's happening. And if you have to go and serve 5 years, it's okay with me. God wants you to carry the message to those who still suffer behind the wall." Yes, easy for you to say. You ain't looking at the time. He was not comforted at all by my growth. And they let him go. He got off of that deal. That's when a change really happened in our life, where we came together as a couple. Because during that period of time, you know, we get up in the morning, we'd say our prayers, I'd get on my knees, and it was a personal thing. But when that happened to us, we were together on our knees every night beside the bed. And I looked at him one night, and we were on our knees on his side of the bed, and I go, "Why do we always do this on your side of the bed?" He said, "Because I'm the one that needs to be the most spiritual right now." And I said, "Nana." And so we started saying our prayers together at the end of the bed in neutral territory. We work things out. For Keith and I are equals in this world, just like you and I. Because you see, we're all God's kids. We have to work together to come together. And it's not what Keith does for me. Keith does not have to take care of me the rest of his life. I don't need him anymore. And the key word in that sentence is need. Keith is in my life today because I love him. And because he wants to be there, he loves me. Our daughter's in our life today because she has forgiven and she loves her parents because of the 12 steps of this program. We have two wonderful granddaughters. Nicole is 9 years old. She lights up my life. There is no feeling in the world like being a grandparent. I don't even know how to explain it. And then a few days ago, Jasmine just had her 1 year birthday. The neat part is that when Nicole was born, Simone said they were naming her Nicole Dama after Simone's mother-in-law in Italy. And I said, "Okay, I can handle that." She said, "No, Mom, I'm not going to name her Sue because in Italian, Sue means up, and I'm not going to go around saying, 'Where's up?'" So I said, "Okay," and I accepted that. But when they found out that Jasmine was coming, Nicole said, "I will name my new little sister." And she got out her princess book. And she named her Jasmine Sue. Aww. And Nicole and I connect. She told me the other day that she took tests. They had a whole bunch. She had a test in every course. She's 9 years old. She made A's in every one of them. She said, "So, I told Mama I don't have to study anymore." And she said, two little boys at school told her she was beautiful and they wanted her to be their girlfriend. I go, whoa. Well, it's true, you're beautiful. But are you going to be their girlfriend? She said, "No, I like being single." She is my granddaughter. Last August, we went to Italy, and we stayed on the Italian Riviera with my daughter and her family for 2 weeks. What a tremendous experience that was. Our son-in-law is a very good father, and he is a very good husband. To see that family, they don't yell at each other. When something goes wrong, they talk about it. They don't raise their voice. A light bulb went out in their apartment. You know what he did? He went and got the ladder and the light bulb and he replaced it that day. They're normal. I could not believe it. That day. You see, I don't forget the miracles. I don't forget the miracles. Hopefully, Keith and I love this program. We have devoted our whole lives to this program. It comes first. I have never forgotten recovery. I can't afford to. I loved your talk last night, Joe. And because of that, we have a great life. Not every day is good. I got a ticket the other day. But today I am better at dealing with life on life's terms. One of the long-term AA ladies said to me in Vegas the other day, she said, "I am hearing your name." She has 45 years sober, and I love her to death. And I love to, she works at a recovery home with AA women. And she has asked me to come over there a couple of times and talk to the ladies that live there that are brand new in sobriety about what the disease does to the family. And I love doing that with her. And so she told me the other day, she said, "Sue, your name has come up with these AA women a lot." And I thought, ooh. Because she has told me, "Don't forget, you're an Al-Anon. And they can always look at you and say, but you don't drink." And she's right. She's right. And I'm always conscious of that when I am sharing with an AA woman. Just like the lady that was upset because he left. I said, "You could get drunk over this if you don't let go." I don't ever forget. But she told me the other day, she said, "If you're going to talk to these AA women and help them, I want to tell you what to do with them." And I thought, oh my God, I got to go get a pencil and paper. I want to know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to concentrate, you know, and I said the serenity prayer, and I said, "Okay, Betty, tell me what to do." She said, "All these new gals are coming in. They're young and they're beautiful. Tell them to put some clothes on." I said, okay. And I talked to these ladies about being ladies. About being ladies. Don't use your body as a meal ticket anymore. Let the beauty grow from inside, and it will only happen if we talk to our God every morning. We read our morning meditation, and then we look in the mirror, and we say, good morning, I love you. This little Hispanic lady that asked me to sponsor her shared in a meeting the other day that she's doing that. And she said, I would look in the mirror in the mornings, and I would never saw anybody. I'd put my makeup on and I never saw anybody. And she said, but now that I'm doing this, she said, I see a sad lady in that mirror and I want her to go away. And I thought, oh my God, she will. She will, because miracles happen every day if we are willing to contribute to recovery and do it consistently and not just come here for relief. Relief does not work. It will take us back to our old ideas. Recovery will set us free. And we can't do it alone. The first word in the first step says, we. And I became a we almost 32 years ago. And today, you are a we because you're here. And together, we can make it. Thank you very much.